Well, we're going to pick up where I left off on the dialectic process. So far, I've talked about the thesis, which is the father's position, the antithesis, which is perceived as being another position, and it can be, but that would produce fixity. Either that would retain a I'm right, you're wrong way of thinking. But in the dialectic, by changing the thesis from the father's authority to the child's feelings, we now make the father's authority the antithesis. And I can simply do that by starting any meeting with how you feel. How do you feel about this issue? Rather than asking who knows what's the right answer. You know, that would retain a patriarchal paradigm. Now, the matriarchal paradigm is a mother's heart. Nothing wrong with a mother's heart. But see, the husband is to rule over the home. Desire of the heart of the wife is to the husband. And if that authority structure is broken down, and that's what socialists do all the time, first thing Peace Corps does, and the UN, UNESCO, all these organizations, they will go to the wives of the village first. And all they have to have is two or three. Because once they're shown how to solve the water problems, once they're shown what to do to help their children be more healthy, then they come home and they become the source for making policy. And that's deliberately done. You don't go to the men. You don't instruct the men in what is right and wrong. You go to the women, and then the wife, because she's more knowledgeable than the husband. I'm not against knowledge. I'm not against women having knowledge. It's that is intentionally done to break down the father's authority in the home. And therefore, the focus is on the children. By focusing on the children, all of a sudden the father's authority is made secondary. And it's literally negated. It's removed from the foundation of thought, of setting policy in the home. And that's what is done. It's a very simple process. And you'll find all these organizations of the globalist socialist mindset doing that. They will, of course, focus on the children's feelings, and they call it felt needs. Now, children have needs. Jesus, as the Son of God, had need after 40 days of fasting. He needed food. But he said, Dad says. See? And so, then Satan came along and says, what are your felt needs? You know, you need food, that's physical needs. You need a purpose in life. They're the kingdoms of the world. And Satan's a real idiot. He's a fool because Jesus is coming to judge the nations. Why, Satan's offering them to him. And then the pride of life is, you know, jump off the pinnacle. You can tell everybody else you're God. You can know you're God. That's pride. I have control. And Jesus says, first of all, man doesn't live by bread alone. Yes, we need the food. We have these needs, but by every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God. He is our thesis. He's our father. He's our position. We can't let our feelings, which are the antithesis, that cry out at us, that the self says, man, if you don't do this, what's going to happen to me? That if you're a believer in the Word of God, you can't do that. You have to deny yourself. You have to humble yourself. You have to die to yourself daily to do the Father's will. You put your hand to the plow, you're not looking left. Well, you know, here comes some pain, I'm going to run. Or to the right, there's some pleasure, I think I'll run to it. You put on the whole armor of God and stand. You don't run from the pain, you don't run to the pleasure. Jesus despised the shame of the cross. It was painful. It wasn't just physical pain, it was rejection. The night before the cross, let this cup pass from me. There ought to be, Dad, is there another way of doing this? But nevertheless, see, thy will be done. That's a believer's paradigm. But by bringing the church into the polls, you know, the opinion polls, the all these how do you feel dialoguing environments, dialoguing of opinions, you instantly negate the father's authority. And now you can do synthesis because we all have feelings of dissatisfaction of being told what we can or cannot do when we want to do something. And the dialectic says, you know, those who do this process, the facilitators of change say, we're going to find a crisis that we can all participate in. You know, that we all would agree that we need to do this if we're going to survive. it's coming to my mind right now that Dr. Jadanovitz, he said, we have to find that social unit that is immediately above the family. Now what he means by that is that you have to find where, say, in the family, as a father, you're going to have commands, you're going to set up the standards, you're going to set up the rules, you're going to set policy. But that doesn't mean that when you go visit with your relatives, your brother, your sisters, you know, and their families, that they have different rules and policy. But to maintain the relationship, you sort of look the other way. You know, you hang around your friends, they say things, and you know, you just don't come in and say, thesis, that's wrong. Because if you keep doing that, you know, they're not your friends anymore. And besides that, you get some dopamine. You know, there's the child within you wanting freedom, that's even as an adult. And so you hang around this person who's doing those things, and you can vicariously participate. You know, you might say, well, I'd never do that. But you're getting dopamine from their doing it. And so that's the social unit just above the family. And so all I have to do is find that. Find where you're willing to compromise. Where the imagination of the heart is you talking to yourself. Now, remember I said there's one. With a father, there's one. You can have two or three fathers, but Jesus said, call no man father on earth, for you have one father which is in heaven. That resolves all this dialectic. It just clears the air. We are personally accountable for our thoughts and our actions to one God. And the judgment that comes from disobedience is eternal death. And that can only be resolved by His only begotten Son. The only Son who truly understood the Father. I and my Father are one. See, but what my Father commands, that's what I do. So Jesus humbled Himself, took on the form of a man as a child under a father, fulfilled His Father's obedience, you know, was obedient to His Father, fulfilled His Father's commands, which we can never do in and of ourselves. And by faith in Him, His righteousness, His obedience to His Father is imputed to us. That's God's grace. We're only saved by by Christ, the obedient Son. By faith in Him, faith in the Father, because it's not by works. There's nothing I can do other than give up. And say, hey, Dad, you know, I can't do it. And Dad will say, you know what? Thank you. Thanks for recognizing. You can't. It's impossible for you to fulfill my requirements. Because if you try to, you're as God. Because you are not righteous in and of yourself. You are not God in and of yourself. Now, you acted like that. You acted like you're the one who gave the commands and everything else. No, it is not in you to direct your steps. I am the one who directs your steps. And so you die to yourself. And you let Him direct your steps. And in faith, see, by faith, His grace, His word, and in Christ, can we have life? Are we free from the dialectic process, from self-justification? Because it is our nature to justify ourselves. Just listen to a child. You know, when they get in trouble, they're justifying all over the place. Well, my fault and my friend's fault, so-and-so. And we go back to the garden, Adam and Eve. Now, that is the synthesis. See, the synthesis can only, which by the way is a lie, it's a great deception. That we can synthesize position and feelings. Oh, by the way, that makes position ever changing. Oh, now we get to the changing. Because God's position never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. No shadow of turning. But our feelings are ever changing because our feelings are tied to the environment, the touch, taste, sight, smell, sound. That nervous system is tied to what's around us right now. Is it too hot, too cold? You know, is it pleasurable, painful? And our nature, our fleshly, carnal nature, is to approach pleasure and avoid pain. That is our human nature. And so God, His word, is antithesis to our feelings, our carnal feelings. Flesh and spirit, conflict. Now, if we were just flesh, it'd be one thing. But God formed the man from the dust of the ground. That's flesh. And He breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of man. He became a living soul. So we have a soul. The Word of God speaks to the soul, by the way. Men's opinions speak to the flesh. So when Satan asked Eve that question in an opinion format, in other words, what's your opinion on this? He was speaking to her flesh. And when you start with the flesh, then God's word becomes the antithesis. It's a barrier to our carnal desires. Now, he got her to think, to evaluate. Oh, now we're back to God. You know, we're made in the image of God. We're able to evaluate. Who are you? What are we evaluating from? Are we evaluating from God's word? Are we evaluating our feelings and our thoughts and the feelings and thoughts of others from God's word? Are we evaluating their behavior from God's word? Or are we, as Eve in the garden, as the dialectic process, evaluating God's word, the Father's authority, from our feelings and our thoughts? Or other people's feelings and their thoughts? There's still antithesis. There's still one or the other, but in the dialectic, it gives you this perception that you have, all these choices. It's a spectrum. It's a continuum. It's a broad path. It's a path full of feelings and approval, and you can justify it. It's good to feed people. It's good to clothe people. Nobody would object to that. But which paradigm are you using to do that with? Are you bringing the truth of the knowledge of God to those you feed and clothe? Or are you just feeding and clothing them and doing the group hug? And people say, well, we're bringing the gospel in. But how do you do this? How are you bringing the gospel in? That reproves and corrects and rebukes. That word of God is condemning of the flesh. Oh, no. We don't bring judgment on anybody. Wow, we're all condemned. See, there's conflict. There's tension in the Word of God. The flesh is to die. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. You got to die daily. You know, pick up your cross and follow the Lord. There's something you have to do. You have to willingly give up this life and follow Him to have life eternal. See, there's eternal life and eternal death. And if that is not what you're presenting when you share the gospel, it's not the word of God. Because the gospel has no meaning. The good news has no meaning without the bad news. The bad news is there is no hope in you. There is no hope in the world. Now, Immanuel Kant, who Hegel built off of, and on and on and on, he said, hope is in happiness, happiness is in pleasure, pleasure is in the mind, and now we know that's dopamine. And so that's stimulated from the environment, and he materialized everything. Hegel said he couldn't have done it without Immanuel Kant, Critique of Pure Reason. He elevated human reasoning, self-justification, to faith, and he says, I didn't lose my faith, and that's the great deception, you lost your faith. That the moment you focus on the child's feelings, you're negating the father's authority. See, the moment you make the matriarchal even or equal with the patriarchal, you destroy the patriarchal. And then the heresiarchal takes over. The children rule, collective. Because if you can get everybody focusing on their children or on their feelings, all you have is a room full of children. They can be in adult bodies, but they're all based on their feelings. It's called consensus with sensuousness. We have decided what is right and what is wrong through our feelings. We're thinking through our feelings. That's the dialectic process. That's why today when you share the truth with people, you get the deer in headlight look. Because you know, they're saying to you, you don't have listening skills. I'm trying to get you to think your feelings, to communicate with me through your feelings, and you just keep preaching and teaching. And besides, if I don't go your way, you're going to chasten me, and there's condemnation. And man, you know, you're just hateful. You're just negative. Can't you be positive? Let's at least agree to disagree. Let's put aside this right-wrong righteousness, you know, above below way of thinking, and let's focus on what we all have in common. Let's focus on equality. We all of us, we don't like being told to do something we don't want to do, and we don't like having to do something or not being able to do what we want to do. See, that's what we all have in common. All I have to do, every teacher is trained to be a facilitator today. To ask the students, have you ever, question and answer, have you ever been told to do something you didn't want to do? Well, I took every child in the classroom back to the home. Oh, and we're going to look at all the tyrants of the world, all these dictators, oppressing their people. And the child vicariously knows right away that's dad. You don't have to bring it up. Oh, your dad's a tyrant because he tells you what you can and can't do. But just looking at social issues of life, it's understood by every child. When they come home, they're going to challenge their father's authority because now they won't die, right? They have a classroom experience, government sanction. It's okay to disregard. Your dad's irrational because rationally he'd be listening to your feelings, because feelings and rationality are one and the same in the world. But if you have faith in God, it's not rational. Here's Moses leading the children of Israel out, and they're caught between the other shore. There's the Dead Sea in front of them. He's irrational. Man, you led us out here to die. See, and so faith is always irrational in the light of our feelings, which are tied to the world. And so the dialectic process is all about changing the environment of setting policy. How do we come to the solution to the crisis? Well, it's come by asking people how they feel. Because if we ask for the facts, there's probably one person in there saying, well, this is the way we did it in the past, or this is the right way of doing it. And we got the old patriarchal right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, above, below, heaven, hell paradigm still in control of the community. So let's just simply change the way we set policy. Let's become positive. Let's become user-friendly. I call this communism smile, user-friendly Marxism. Because that's what Marx was all about. He said, well, you know, sense experience has to be the foundation of true science. Now, science is material. Do you realize that? Anything you deal with that's science is material. It materializes everything. So when we have behavioral science, which is psychology, that tells you, hello, anybody home? You know, your child is material. That's all. And material ties you to the world. So if I ask you how you feel, I'm materializing you because your feelings are tied to the world. It's that simple. We are sitting ducks. You're that gullible. You're that seducible, deceivable, and manipulatable. I mean, I'm sure this morning you didn't get up and go, man, I can't hardly wait to be manipulated. But when somebody's asking you how you feel about something, that's what's happening to you. You're human resource. You're just no different than that iron ore out there. And if you say, you know what, I'm not going to go with you, carbon. I'm not going to be steel today, you know. I'm just going to remain the way I am. I'm just going to, be the same old, same old. And this is how the world will look at you. You're worthless. You're irrational. You know, you're not going to discover your full potential. And if you're over somebody else, you're oppressing them. You're repressing them. This is Child Protective Service, how to rescue children. We will leave no child behind. All children are at risk. Why are they at risk? Because they're under their father's authority, learning right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, this patriarchal paradigm, and they're not readily adaptable to change. Because the father isn't focusing on the child's feelings, he's getting the child to focus up on his commands. And see, Jesus didn't come to negate the father's authority. He came and fulfilled it. He didn't come to redeem us from the father's authority. He came as to restore us, to bring us into, to reconcile us with the father, to redeem us from the father's wrath. See, the wrath is upon those who are the cast out. We were cast out in sin. We're cast out. But Jesus came and took our sins upon him, our disobedience to the Father upon him. And by accepting him, we accept that paradigm, that Father's authority through him who understands and knows the Father, the only one. We don't. Where children do not understand the Father. We don't understand the Father. No man has seen the Father at any time. Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. So in him, that father-child relationship is made complete. We can't do it in ourselves. And so the whole dialectic process is how to negate the father's authority. Marx says once the earthly family, once that traditional family where the father gives commands and chastens when the children disobey and casts out those who refuse to honor and respect his authority. Mark says, once that earthly family is discovered to be the secret of the heavenly family, or the holy family. And here's how he saw it. He says, okay, by the child obeying the parent. Say the child's playing with the toy the parent gave him. The parent comes and says, put it up. And the child says, no, it's mine. I can do with it what I feel like doing. I'm getting dopamine off this moment. I'm living in the moment. You hear this, in the moment? If you're living in the moment, you can't be serving the Lord. Because the moment ties you to the flesh, the here and now. Yes, we are in the world, but not of the world. But you take that child's toy away from him. It's really your toy. I mean, it's the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and we're to have dominion over it. But, you know, now we're doing the, you know, Rousseau, where it says the earth belongs to no one, the fruit to everyone. Now, if you follow the logic, you end up with Hegel, that your wife doesn't belong to you anymore. Your wife belongs to the world. Oh, man. Your children aren't yours anymore. They belong to the community. That house you live in isn't yours. It's the community's. The business you own isn't yours. It's the community's. If you're not contributing to the community, you are worthless. This is communism. America is a Marxist nation because this was Marx. His whole ideology was, let's focus on people's feelings, on pleasure. Same with Freud. Same thing. He made pleasure the highest good. You know, and so we have all this perversity. His hero is Orpheus, who made love to young boys. A man who made love to young boys. Oh, that's pedophilia. That's Freud's hero. I get people upset with me because I say there's no such thing as a Christian psychologist. Psychology is the rejection of the Father's authority. You can't claim to be a believer in the Lord who brought us into right relationship with our Heavenly Father. And be into psychology, which says its only purpose is, and listen to your language betrays you. The moment you open your mouth and you ask that husband, wife, and those children how they feel and what they think, you're in to doing the same process that Satan did with Eve in the garden. You're an ambassador for the devil. Period. You can argue, and you know what? You're going to be just like Adam and Eve. It's not my fault, it's so-and-so. You just don't understand. You're just so hateful. You're just so negative. You know, like, can't you be positive? Can't we all just get along? Because you don't understand the Spirit of God. He fills you with His Holy Spirit, and you have His love and His joy and His peace. And you say, well, okay, we need to all just do a group hug. That is not the love of the Lord. The love of the Lord is no longer concerned about what somebody's going to do to you if you don't go along with Him. It is concerned about what God is going to do with them. You call yourself a Christian psychologist, and that father is spanking his child because his child is in disobedience to his authority. And you say, okay, I'm going to come between the child and the father. Like Satan came between the children and the father and said, I'm going to make this a little more positive environment. And you move them away from that patriarchal paradigm, which is the only paradigm. Mark says, once you realize that earthly family is God's secret, it's the same paradigm. The earthly family has to be annihilated, and that's what you're doing as a psychiatrist. That's your only call. That's your only duty, is to kill the Father's authority in every person in that room. And you've deceived by calling yourself a believer, and you're not. And you're deceiving everybody else by bowing down and worshiping you and that satanic system. That's why the Bible says there's going to be a great falling away. Because why do people fall away? Because they're seduced with their feelings. They're deceived because somebody said, oh, you won't die. And then they're manipulated. They're just herd of animals. Stimulus response. Tickle their ears. You go into these churches. That's all it is. Experiencing God. That's sensuousness. You know, dying to yourself. It's not an issue of experiencing God. It's being a child of God, obeying Him, and serving Him, and loving Him above all things. That's the gospel message. So the dialectic is really easy. It just does a bait and switch. I would come in if I was doing this and find out what your felt needs are, the things you're really interested in the moment, and that's through dialogue. How do you feel? What do you think? And you say, well, I feel my opinion is. And once I get that out, I own you. I'm your best friend. You know, your dad never told you to take the garbage out and then ask you how you felt about it. I just ask you, how do you feel about being told to do something you don't want to do? Oh, I don't like it. Wow. We got a whole classroom of kids. Have the same feeling. They don't like being told what they can or cannot do. I'm not going to stand up here and lecture to you and preach and teach and chasing you when you disobey. That's the old school. See, that was the teacher, even though it might be a woman, had the paddle up there. She inculcated that patriarchal paradigm in the thoughts and actions of little children. She might have been a tyrant, but she still taught the children a patriarchal paradigm that when they opened up the Word of God, they would understand it. They would understand they were accountable to a higher authority, and therefore they would have a guilty conscience. And so when they were in a group of kids following their feelings, their conscience would kick in. Dad's voice would kick in them. You ever had that happen? You're tempted to do something you want to do, and then all of a sudden Dad shows up. Not physically, but he's in your head. So you can't do that. Boy, I get a hold of you. You're in trouble, man. You're going to the woodshed. There's chastening coming, and so it stops you. And so you're a social misfit. The greatest barrier to socialism is the guilty conscience. That's why every time nations go into this direction, every time people go into this direction, they do unconscionable things. It's unconscionable to take the life of an innocent child. Who would ever take a child and pay somebody to execute him? An unborn child. That is the most selfish, carnal, barbaric way of thinking, and yet here we are doing it. It's because we have no guilty conscience, because we have made pleasure the foundation of life. We have focused on the child's feelings over and against the father's authority. Because when you start with a father, you only have antithesis. There's right and there's wrong. There's above, below, heaven, hell. And what Satan did in the garden is now become the one world system, the only way to thinking, the heresiarchal paradigm of change. Heresy is change. And because the environment changes, you know, your feelings change, therefore everything has to be adaptable to change. And the only way you can have that is you got to kill the dads. And so Mark says, once you realize the earthly father is a secret of the heavenly father, the earthly father has to be killed. How do you kill him? You get the family in the room and ask them how they feel and what they think. Dad's dead. You may not have physically taken him out and shot him, but you did. You gutted him. You destroyed him. If you claim to be a Christian psychologist, that's what you are. You're a destroyer of the Father's authority. You refuse to go in to the kingdom of God, and you refuse to allow anybody else to go in there as well. And that's what the Frankfurt School understood, that Karl Marx and Sigmund Freud were on the same page. Freud said that it's not a matter whether you kill the father or not. It's just if he no longer functions as a father's authority, he's no longer giving commands and chastening and casting out those who refuse to accept that his office of authority. You don't have to kill him. Just neuter him. People understand that, okay, we're going to do whatever we feel like doing, and as long as everybody approves of it, that's the foundation of life. That is a destruction of the patriarchal paradigm of the father's authority, and you cannot open the Word of God and understand it. In fact, the Word of God has been redefined. The words are rearranged now. Because we have free license, we can change the Word of God any way we feel like doing it. And we can be academic about it. We can impress everybody. You know, it's what you learn in seminary, you know. Seminaries focus on everybody's opinion of the Word of God. That's all. Satan doesn't mind you getting in a room focusing on opinion because of everybody's feeling of the Word of God and what they think about it. He just doesn't want you to read it. He doesn't want you to hear the preaching and teaching. That's all we're told to do, by the way, is preach and teach, not to dialogue. Dad says you can't go out. You know, that's sort of a preaching format. You know, you can do this, you can't do that. And then he chastens you to bring you back to right relationship. Bloom's taxonomy would start with knowing. Dad says, you can't go out, now you know. Then the comprehension. Dad looks in your eyes and says, do you understand what I just said? You better obey, right? It's an issue of obedience. Now, the application is you might decide to go out. And the analysis is, as Dad's taking you to the woodshed, you know how important knowing is. That chastening brings you back to knowledge. A fear of God is the beginning of understanding. But Bloom goes to synthesis, which means every child must sin. Every child must put their father's commands to the side and start with their feelings. And once we start in that classroom, in the youth group, with the children's feelings, the evaluation at the end is through their feelings, and Dad, in their thoughts and their actions, is dead. They have no honor, no fear, no guilty conscience for their wicked heart. Abomination rules. And that's how we got to where we are today. Because we rejected the Word of God and now worship the opinions of men. Turn on TV, listen to the radio, go to church. Yeah, everywhere you turn, it's all about the opinions of men. Are you reading the Word of God? Are you a child of your Heavenly Father? Is His Word precious in your life? How do you overcome the enemy? The blood of the Lamb, the work that Christ has done to death. See, and the word of your testimony is Him working through. What is your testimony? What is your witness? Him working through you. You're dying to yourself and saying, Dad, I can't do it. And giving up first thing in the morning and say, Dad, direct my steps. And you love not this life to the death. You just constantly, you know, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. And that prayer begins with, Our Father, which art in heaven. No man can come to the Father except through Christ. The gospel message is all about Jesus saying, I want you to meet my Father. I want you to know my Father's love for you. That's, who sent the Son? It was the Father. Who raised the Son from the dead? It was the Father. Who set the Son at His right hand? It was the Father. Who gave the Son the heavens and the earth? It was the Father. It is the Father. So we can't understand the Father apart from the Son. So in Christ, see, we come to know the Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we come to understand who we are, where we came from, and where we're going. But the dialectic is all about washing that from the brain. Brainwashing is washing the Father's authority, the guilty conscience, for disobedience to a higher authority than our human carnal nature from our brain. Well, we'll stop there on this presentation, and I always go longer than I intend, but Lord bless you. And again, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And let Him be the one who directs your steps.